numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We have these conferences. By the way, got to talk some hockey coming up. Andy McNeil, what a night in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Four potential closeout games. The Kraken being the one on their home ice. So we got to get to that as well. We will discuss, let's go for under a cloud of smoke with Jason Weingarten a little later on. We'll do that. See what he's betting on. By the way, he wasn't going to bet anything in the NFL draft, and I think he bet one thing, over 31.5 on Hendon Hooker. And he said he just bet it mercilessly. So we'll get that. A documented 1-0. But he did to the hill. Good for him. Did better than we did. Which brings us to the more macro point of, any regrets from these books that they didn't book this?
Well, I would think so.
They may not admit it.
Or let me rephrase. I hope so.
The other thing we want to point out here before we get JVT in is Sean McCollum, who's behind the glass, was just talking about some side bets he was making. And anyway, he was, you know, he's not the betters. He's not a huge better, but he was watching the draft and he was saying, oh, yeah, they said it was less than it was a 1.8% chance that Will Levis didn't get drafted in the first round. And we were remarking on how, they make a big deal about that, you were saying, right? Like in the draft.
They kept mentioning he's a favorite to be drafted top five. He's fallen this far.
The most volatile event there is. And yet we exhaustively documented yesterday the historical significance of that Heat upset by betting odds, by 8-1, whatever, over the Bucks. They barely make a big deal about that.
Yeah, the national media are still learning how to work with betting odds, because it's the NFL draft is such a completely different event from something like an NBA best of seven series. And it seems like they didn't make nearly enough about how massive of an upset that was. But, like, the Will Levis stuff they couldn't stop talking about last night.
Let's bring in JVT. He's our senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. He's the host of Hardwood Handicappers, which he does with our own Kelly Bidlin as well, wherever podcasts are distributed. JVT, let me just start with that, which is, before we get to tonight's games and the series prices that exist, but back to the Heat Bucks, because I think it does deserve one more mention, which is, do you believe that? Because we went through all the historical 1-8s. It's the fifth by betting number. It was like the fifth longest odds of any series. And I went through why you could make a case why it was the most incredible. Given the circumstances and how bad the Heat were during the regular season and the Bucks number one, like, do you think that was the biggest upset of all time?
Yeah, so, sorry, excuse me. Good morning. I still have morning voice. We talked about this the other day on the podcast, Gil, which was, at first I was very resistant to that narrative. I think for the most part, when you're talking about that, because if I were to tell you before the series that Giannis was only going to play in two games and a quarter, then I think that dramatically shifts the betting odds from before the season began or the series began. However, when you factor in the way the Bucks lost the last two games,
right
and where they were, and what Jimmy Butler did, I came more around to the fact that, yes, like, that should be up there with one of the bigger upsets that we've seen, just given the fact that they collapsed the way they did in those final two games and Butler did what he did. I'm willing to come around on that a lot more.
Yeah, and he didn't have Tyler Hero, which Charles Barkley said, given the perspective, is actually a bigger loss in the series than you know, for the Heat in their ability to win that series than Giannis would actually be to the Bucks. And the Bucks won a game without Giannis. By the way, here again are the 1-8s historically. The Bucks losing to the Heat at the top there, but the Bulls losing to the Sixers. Derrick Rose blew out his knee in the first game. The Grizzlies had Zach Randolph and crew. That was the We Believe Warriors, who had won 16 of their last 21, had beaten the Mavs three times that season. And then the bottom two were best of five. So, I mean, in that respect, yes. And then the betting odds, we could, you know, we went through the exceptions of the four above that as well. Okay, let's get to tonight first, because we have three of the conference semifinals intact. But tonight, potential closeouts for both the Warriors and the Lakers. We start at 5 p.m. Pacific in San Francisco. Now, for those of us who have lived in San Francisco, oh my, this should be fun to get to this ballgame that time. Warriors are more than a touchdown favorites. They're 7.5-point favorites to close this out. You think they get it done? You think they cover?
Yeah, I think they do. I think when you're looking at, so one of the things that I've had to, and I've talked to Kelly about this, Gil, is I've had to come more around on being or factoring in more situations, right, for some of these teams in these postseasons. And situationally, when you're coming back home the way that the Warriors are, with the ability to close it out on a court in which you have been your strongest, right? Home court's been great for the Golden State Warriors in this short postseason that they've been in, and of course, at the regular season. This screams to me that the Warriors are going to come in and take care of business, and especially once you factor in the injury to the best player for the Sacramento Kings and the fact that that efficiency really dropped off for him as that game went along.
Sure did.
I think that this is going to be one where the Golden State Warriors come in and remind us all of why they are the defending champions, especially with the way that they play at home. So I get behind this, like with the market getting up to 7.5, if you want to go in and go, you know, first half, I would understand it too. But I'm pulling for them as somebody who's got some Western Conference futures on the Warriors. I think they do it, and I believe that they will.
I do as well. I got Western Conference futures on the Warriors. I do not have NBA futures on them. I have Western Conference futures on them. Yep. The Fox break may just be the break, pun intended, that they needed. But I will tell you this, as a Warriors guy and one with a futures ticket on them, I'm a little slower on the come up. Like, the Warriors are just going to roll them. Like, there's definitely a part of me that's like, all right, let's get this done. Let's, you know, because the Kings could be live as they have in each of these. And then there's the Lakers and the Grizzlies. Now, obviously, neither the Warriors or the Lakers want to go back for a Game 7 on the road. But you would agree the Lakers is the more precarious of these two. Like, they're the ones who really don't want to go back.
Absolutely. I think that is 100% fact. With the way that the Grizzlies have shown throughout this series, the way they can play defensively at times, like, I don't think the Lakers want any part of going back to Memphis and extending this thing out. Because even if, Gil, outside of like the probability of them even winning that game, it's even if you go to a Game 7 to win that thing, you're talking about LeBron, who's dealing with his foot injury. Anthony Davis has been dealing with a bunch of stuff. This is a team that wants to end this series as quick as possible and not have to extend it out on the off chance they do win it if it goes to 7, and then have to take on, you know, whoever they're facing in the next round, most probable outcome being the Golden State Warriors. So no, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, the Lakers, if they lose this game, I think they lose the series, because I don't know if they're going to Memphis and winning that outright.
All right, you ready for you hating me again on this? If it's the Lakers and the Warriors, okay. What's the series
ready.
Price? What's that series price?
Well, judging by the market, I'll go Warriors minus 10,000. How about that?
All right, there you go.
No, I think if you're going to realistically look at it and you're going to say that if the market was, you know, minus 295, right, that's where it opened up for that Sacramento Warriors series, and the Warriors would have home court if they were to play one another, I would say Warriors at the very least probably minus 250. I think probably in that range. I think that's pretty fair, and it might be higher given the fact that they have home court in that series should they take on the Los Angeles Lakers.
People just love the Lakers so much, though, right? The betting market just loves them so much that I wonder if it would be that high. And if it is the Warriors and the Grizzlies, maybe even more interesting, because the Grizzlies would have home court.
Yeah.
What do you think that would be?
I would think that the Grizzlies deserve enough respect that they would be favored with home court. But I think it would be a similar price to this Lakers game, or this right before it started. I mean, it might be minus 120 Grizzlies, or maybe a small minus 120 in favor of the Warriors, given the front court injuries for the Memphis Grizzlies. But I think you're kind of floating in that nexus if that's the series you're getting in the second round.
Yeah, I don't know. If the Warriors were such big favorites over the Kings, I would imagine they'd still be a favorite to some degree over the Grizzlies as well. But I will say this, like, I've never been in a position where I'm actually rooting for the Lakers, but the Grizzlies are so mouthy that I would love to see the Lakers win this game tonight.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Also, as somebody who bet the Lakers win the series, I would like to see them win this game.
That for a much better reason. Okay, let's go to the three series that are intact and that are set to start this weekend. Beginning, we were going to talk to some degree because the Suns-Nuggets series is still fixed at minus 140 in favor of the Phoenix Suns against the number one seeded Nuggets. Remind everyone, like, what's your thought on that?
That it's going to be a Nuggets bet for me. I'm just waiting to see what the market's going to do. If it starts to increase a little bit more, if I can get a little bit more out of the price for Denver. But I think when you're looking at everything, the fact that Denver has a little bit better depth than the Suns, the fact that the Suns are needing to play Kevin Durant, Devin Booker about 40 minutes a game so they can get out of a series against the Clippers in which they did not have Kawhi Leonard, the fact that their defense actually looked a little exposed in 3 out of the last 4 games against the Clippers that didn't have their best player, I think the market is, again, undervaluing or overvaluing the Phoenix Suns, undervaluing Denver as they head into the series. So I am on the Denver side.
Suns Nuggets game number 1, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 Eastern on Saturday. And then the Knicks started as minus 140 favorites in their 5-8, the 5 seed versus 8 seed series against the Heat. They've taken some money in some spots. We've seen them as high as minus 155. Are you aboard on the Knicks here, despite the Heat with that historic upset?
So I'm not, and I haven't made an official bet here, but I'm very much in the camp of the Miami Heat. And I was telling Kelly the other day, I want to go back and rewatch the regular season series again to see, you know, some of the matchups on the court and see what sways me one way or the other. But I do think, Gil, like, again, kind of like at the beginning of the Cavs series, right? Julius Randle and what's going on with his ankle is a massive question mark. And if he's not going to be fully healthy, what that happens to the Knicks defense, right? It's a massive mismatch with Jimmy Butler out there with not really anybody physically capable of matching up with him. I think a lot stems from that matchup as they move forward if Julius Randle's not able to guard him effectively. Now, this is a really tight series from a score perspective. It was 3-1 in favor of the Knicks, but really tight games. I would very much lean toward Miami, but nothing official yet because I want to go back and start rewatching some of those games.
All right, this is a two-parter. Celtics are minus 310 against the Sixers. It started minus 330. Is that too high, or given Embiid's uncertainty, is that about where it should be? And obviously, based on the betting markets, because of the Bucks' loss, this sort of opens up the Eastern Conference once again to the Celtics in a way that it didn't prior to. Do you believe that they should be quite the favorite that they are, or is there a sneaky bet otherwise in the East?
I think this price is actually a little cheap on Boston to win this series against Philly. I think they are a matchup nightmare for the 76ers, and that's Joel Embiid's injury aside. I was looking to lay a game and a half, maybe even 2.5 if the price got right for me here for the Boston Celtics. I think when you're talking about sacrificing your defense like Philly did to put Tyrese Maxey into the starting lineup, they don't really have a lot of guys that can match up with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They're an elite three-point shooting team, the Boston Celtics, and they have a body they can feel comfortable with on Joel Embiid and Robert Williams. I think this is a matchup that really favors Boston. I think they're going to be winning the series somewhat comfortably.
Okay. Enjoy, man. Good luck with all our bets. These two games tonight should be awesome. We'll see if they are, in fact, closeout games. Jonathan Von Tobel, thank you, JBT. Appreciate it. At me, JBT, Hardwood Handicappers, wherever podcasts are distributed. Stanley Cup playoffs, four games tonight, four potential closeouts. Andy McNeil with a play in the Kraken game, and VGK potential series prices next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Let's talk some Stanley Cup playoffs. Andy McNeil, digital gambler, kind enough to join us from Edmonton, Alberta. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing pretty good. I'd be doing a lot better if Boston had closed out that series in game five, but nonetheless, I'm still standing.
You're still standing. Let's start there. That's one of the four games tonight. The Bruins, the 65 win Bruins of the regular season, up 3-2 on the Panthers, but we're in Florida tonight. The Panthers trying to force a game seven. Any thoughts on this game? Any thoughts on the remainder of this series? Would you take a flyer on the Panthers at 6-1?
No, I wouldn't. I think that's too close to a fair price to, you know, be a value play. And I'm a biased Bruins fan, so, you know, of course I wouldn't. But I think, you know, looking at this series, the Bruins absolutely deserve to be tarred and feathered if they lose this one, because they've, you know, really, really handed it to the Panthers. If you look back, a lot of the goals they've scored, the Panthers have scored in this series, have been off of Boston mistakes, turnovers, you know, none bigger than Linus Ullmark's blunder in overtime in game five. Totally gave the game away to Florida in a game that was heavily tilted towards the Bruins, you know, throughout. So I think Boston can, you know, clean up their game and win this in game six. You know, part of the end game goal, I guess, with betting the series spread 1.5 games was that I would be in this situation as kind of, I guess, a last resort, last hope, you know, with the Bruins at minus 145 on the series spread. Pretty good money line, essentially a game six money line, and they're priced at minus 175. So I'm pretty happy with my position. Obviously, they've got to get it done tonight, though.
But you're not telling anybody to go run and bet the minus 175
tonight? No.
Okay.
Like, this is what I'm saying. I basically made a bet before the series that, you know, if the Bruins ended up in this situation, that minus 145 was going to be a lot better than the price I would pay on Boston to win this game on the money line. And that ended up being true. So Like I said, happy with going into this game with essentially a minus 145 on the Boston money line.
We don't have to spend more than 30 seconds on these, but Hurricane Islanders, Hurricanes, to use your pronunciation, are trying to close out the aisles tonight in on Long Island. And then the Stars and the Wild, that one also where the Stars are looking to close that out on the road. You do not have conviction. Those are really tightly lined. You don't really have a play on either of these two?
Yeah, well, I did end up with a play on the Wild in game number five, and they really shot themselves in the foot, taking some really costly penalties in the first period. We're down 2-0 before they knew it, and that's not a good recipe for success against a goaltender like Jake Oettinger. So, I mean, the Wild probably going to push tonight, but their big stars, Kaprizov, Matthew Boldy, the guys that scored most of the goals for them in the regular season, haven't been coming through in the playoffs, and it's really cost them. And Dallas has really grabbed the momentum here going into game six. And as far as the Hurricanes and Islanders go, I mean, Carolina's injuries have really kind of started to show up, and we knew this was going to be a kind of workout in the Islanders' favor the longer this one went on. And I wouldn't be surprised if they forced a game six here. But, you know, for me, if I got to choose, I'll take the Islanders on the series price, but I haven't taken any kind of position on that series.
Okay, you do have a play on this Kraken Avalanche game tonight, and this I want to say this is the most surprising of all of them. I mean, I think it is to everybody. Maybe you thought the Jets and the Knights was the most surprising, but the Jets did have some injuries, so I don't think you can really say that. The Kraken are looking to close out the Avalanche in Game 6, the only one of the closeouts tonight that would be on the home ice. You are playing what here?
Yeah, I'm on Seattle moneyline, and yeah, I think it has been surprising for sure to some extent. I mean, just the way these games have played out with Seattle scoring first in every game.
Yeah, they could have won all five. Yeah,
and you know, the fact that they've really led in a lot of times in this series. Colorado has had a battle back from behind to win the games that they have won in this series. And you know, over the last couple of games, the ice has really been tilted in Seattle's direction. 60% of the expected goals in Seattle's favor. Of course, the Avalanche didn't have Cale Makar in game number five, but they had him in game four, and Seattle played really well in that game. Nichushkin probably out for the season or the series, maybe the remainder of the playoffs. Not really sure what's going on with him, but at plus 135, plus 140, I think Seattle's the better play here. They know what they've got to do. Of course, Jarrett McCann not being in the lineup, probably not going to be in the lineup, is definitely a big downgrade. He's their leading goal scorer, but gives them something to rally around, and that helped them in game five. And they've got a chance to guarantee that we see a new Stanley Cup champion this year. And I like Seattle's chances given how weak Colorado's lineup looks now.
Wow, plus 135 is what we're showing on the board. Always shop around for the best price here on the Kraken, trying to win their first ever playoff series. This, of course, being their first postseason.
Matt Brown will be happy.
Matt Brown will have to scream crack until kingdom come. All right, so about VGK, the Vegas Golden Knights, The first team through the first round, and they do it in five games against the Winnipeg Jets. Potential opponents now in the second round, what would you make series prices?
Yeah, so first of all, like you said, I think Winnipeg was pretty hampered by their injuries. Obviously, their depth was exposed. Vegas really took over the series once Morrissey and Scheifele were knocked out, and credit to them. But it's going to make a big difference who wins this series between the Edmonton Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings. The Golden Knights, of course, are awaiting the winner. I think if Edmonton wins, which it looks like is probable at this point, I've got them winning the series 85% of the time now. They'll be a favorite against the Vegas Golden Knights. In fact, I've got Edmonton winning a series against Vegas roughly 61% of the time, which, you know, converts to around minus 156 on the money line. And if Los Angeles somehow comes back to win this series, I mean, they were a really good team down the stretch. And I think the Golden Knights would still be a favorite, but a very small one with a 52% chance of winning. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the Oilers and Kings series, and you know, obviously more interesting to see where this series line or potential series line opens up for either of those matchups.
Yeah, Oilers Kings game six back in LA tomorrow night. It really would be interesting, again, just you know, anecdotally, for someone who lives here in Las Vegas, as we all do, who lived through the first year of the Vegas Golden Knights where they got all the way to the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is so much more subdued, right? Like, this is like so under the radar. We'll see if they keep advancing in this postseason. And then before you go here, Andy, and this is for all the folks in Toronto, because we have a lot of listeners up in.
We have to hit on it.
We have to. So Toronto, let's just set the stage again. Haven't won a Stanley Cup famously since 1967. Have not won. Let's before we even get to that. Have not won a postseason playoff series since 2004. So we're talking about 19 years, and they have had valiant comebacks in this series against the Lightning. Of course, they won two cups back to back. They're up 3-1. They have it on their racket on their home ice last night. And quite frankly, not a good performance. And the Lightning get it done. And so we're going back to Tampa Bay tomorrow for Game 6, where the Lightning are going to try to force a Game 7. Your overall thoughts on this and just sort of, you know, the pressure aspect of this. Is the pressure real? Like, is this a dynamic that just doesn't exist in other series? Do you buy into that?
I'm not. I mean, the pressure's real for sure. Like, I don't know. It's so hard. It's such a hard question to answer. But I think the pressure's real, and I think it probably the pressure probably mounts the most when in the quiet moments, maybe after the games and at night, and leading up to the game. But I don't necessarily think it's totally impacting the Leafs on the ice per se. I mean, I think they've obviously pushed really well in those pressure moments these last few games. They even made the game close last night. So. I mean, they're still there. They're not crumbling, when the odds seem insurmountable. But so I do think this team is different for sure. But the Maple Leafs now 0-10 in games where they have a chance to eliminate their opponent since 2018. Pretty incredible.
Since 2018. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, they've had 10 chances to eliminate a team from the playoffs since then, and failed to get it done each time. So. I mean, they opened the scoring in Game 5, and the roof absolutely came off the place. And before I could even get an in-game wager in on the Lightning, they had already tied it. And that was, that was it. And Tampa Bay really took over the game and established their dominance. I mean, they've done so for the last few games, and Toronto had been able to battle back, but they weren't able to do that on Thursday. So it'll be interesting in Game 6. In Tampa on Saturday night. And I think it's, a coin flip. Like the betting market, I think it's a coin flip. So there's a good chance, I guess, as good a chance that this ends in 6 as it goes 7. So that's probably not what Maple Leafs fans want to hear. But before the series, I thought, the most likely outcome was Toronto to win in 7 games. Maybe I'm crazy, but, that's how it's looking anyways. The Leafs will obviously be a favorite if it does go to Game 7. So. That's where I'm at right now.
We're all rooting for you, Toronto. And by the way, real quick, as we got to go, but no,
are we?
They should not. Some of us are. they should not make a change in goal yet. Like that would be too hasty. Yes. No.
No. If they're gonna make a change, it should be in the forward position. Put Michael Bunting back in the lineup. Maybe get Justin Hall out of there, who's been on the ice for 14 of 20 goals against this series. I don't know. Not the goaltending.
Okay. It's been thrown out there. Thank you, Andy. Enjoy the games tonight. Good luck with all the bets. Coming back, more on the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Just looking over after the NFL draft, and again, it finally happened. We finally took a loss on the NFL draft. Had to happen after 5 years of crushing that thing. We had a feeling. But just looking at sort of like the futures odds now, right? Because we rarely delve into that. But I'm just looking at this stuff, Kelly, and it's pretty fascinating. By the way, pro tip about the NFL draft, which I think should be stated, whether you won or lost on this year's NFL draft, just keep in mind that there were plenty of great opportunities on players at great numbers over the past couple of months. And if you were vigilant and... we're paying attention at all times, you could have absolutely made a profit if you bet it the right way. Now, we had conviction on things, and if we had bet our conviction, we might have won too, but we did not. We did not in the end.
Yeah, I think my takeaway just betting-wise is the, like you were saying the past couple days, eventually we were going to have a bad year. I didn't have a good year. I don't think there's anything I'd change going forward, though. Like, I'm still, it was just,
well, but it is
bad decisions at bad times this year by me.
No, but what it is it's, let's distill it. So the whole time I'm sitting there saying, I'm like, did anybody watch college football? Like, Will Levis came up small. C.J. Stroud is, like, what are people saying about C.J. Stroud? Did they not watch this guy? What happened between this and that? Now, to say that out loud, but to stick to your conviction for a month of not only everyday noise, but every hour of every day towards the end.
Yep.
And to just say, no, I am absolutely steadfast. Okay, maybe I could see Bryce Young's going first. But the Houston, how many times did I say Houston cannot not take a quarterback?
Yeah, we both
over
did.
And
on
over and over,
months.
Right? Did I bet CJ Stroud at two? No, I didn't. I had him at one. Never had him at two. So you look at these, you know, so do I still think it's the best betting vehicle it is? I do. But I will tell you this. I think the lesson from this year is it's gotten so much hype now. Because when we bet in 2018, people won't remember this. No one else here was really betting it.
Yep, yep.
Now everybody's betting it. And I do think that the possible takeaway, though, is late steam, and when I mean late steam, I mean really late steam, is the only steam.
Yeah, agreed.
CJ Stroud at minus whatever he was.
That's kind of the point of the pro tip, right? Like, yeah. Some of these numbers have been bouncing back and forth for months and months and months based off of mock draft after mock draft, off of Reddit threads, off of everything. And the only steam that really mattered in the end is what the late steam was.
And we were right that the Reddit stuff was nonsense. We were right that Seattle wasn't going to take Jalen Carter. We were right about a lot of stuff, but it didn't manifest in the betting. And if you look at the futures odds now, which it's curious to look at them, you know, because, boy, you look at this is at DraftKings right now. You look at the NFC, the Eagles and the Niners are co-short shots at plus 350. And then it's the Cowboys, Lions, and Saints. It's the Cowboys at plus 650. It's the Lions at plus 850. And the Saints are 14-1, I guess by virtue of the fact that they're in a crap division. And then it's the Seahawks and the Vikings. Like, what world, do you really believe there's a world where the Cowboys, Lions, and Saints should be shorter than the Seahawks and Vikings? I don't, necessarily.
No, no.
I mean, I do agree with the Eagles and Niners at the top, but I mean, that's curious.
Did you see the Micah Parsons thing yesterday?
Oh, yeah, was he doing a Bleacher Report thing?
Yeah, I only caught this quick, but yeah, it was, I guess for Bleacher Report, they were doing a live draft show, and he just almost lost it when Jalen Carter got drafted by the Eagles.
Okay, so he's an NFC East guy, and again, I'll speak for everybody else who's an NFC East fan, whether you're a Skins fan, whether you're a Giants fan, or a Cowboys fan. The Bears thing was so ridiculous. Because, again, to move up one spot to take Jalen Carter, who was consensus best player in the draft, it was the off-the-field stuff that made him drop. The Bears did the entire NFC East and the entire NFL a disservice by allowing that to happen. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Eagles plus 115 to win the NFC East. I'll be honest with you. The Eagles should be the short shot to win the NFC East for years to come.
I agree, and man, I totally agree on that, on the division side, and maybe that ends up being a bet again for me this year. I mean, I bet them when they were last year to win the division. I bet them when they were just behind the Cowboys. I mean, a long summer to go.
How are they only plus 150?
That's what I was just saying. How are these two teams still this close? Like, I think there's a pretty clear separation in the talent of these two teams.
And they're young and replenished, and it's just like, oh, man.
The NFC overall, though, Gil, like, that's...
Oh, it's terrible.
When's the last time... Can you remember the last time when a conference has been so overwhelmingly better than the other? Like, this is... Yes, every year, one is better than the other. I don't remember, like, one being...
Well, it's been the last...
Massively overwhelming.
Well, it was kind of like this last year, too, right? Where it was like, it's the Eagles and the Niners, and then what happens? Right, it's. I mean, this is where we are now.
Yeah, but I mean, now it's like, okay, even like the NFC North conversation, where last year we batted around, you know, Packers, Vikings. Well, Rodgers is gone.
We kind of knew the Packers,
Vikings. Like, we don't know. I don't think anybody, including myself, doesn't think they're going to replicate what they did last year.
But just to give you how this has shifted again, it's like you're moving. The Lions are the short shot to win the NFC North at plus 140, followed by the Vikings, Bears, and Packers. pretty bunched up, but again, the Lions are the short shot. Okay. And then the Saints are the short shot in the South. The NFC South is the worst division I can ever remember.
Right, yes.
The Saints are plus 110. The Falcons are plus 275. The Panthers plus 350. And by the way, the Buccaneers, who are 7-1, didn't feel the need to draft a quarterback yesterday either. They're like, oh, Baker Mayfield's fine.
Or I mean, that's got to tell you how bad like Will Levis really actually is and what these teams actually think of him. The fact that he got past them.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm power ranking NFC teams, it's Eagles, Niners, I agree with those two teams to pick your poison, but I would, because it's Brock Purdy, you can't really expect him to be as good as he was.
Yeah.
So I would give the edge to the Eagles. And I mean, if you force me to pick a third team right now, I might pick Seattle.
Okay. I would go Cowboys. But
what is it about the Cowboys that makes you think that?
It doesn't change my mind of how big of a separation there is between Dallas and Philly, right? So I think that really what tells you is then when you start talking about other NFC teams, how much further, further back I think they are.
I just think if that wasn't that team, that brand, I wonder how many people would actually think they're third best. So. NBA, you didn't get a chance to chime in on this. Do you have any plays in the closeouts tonight?
Yeah, I have bets in both games. I laid it with favorites in both games. I like the Lakers and I like the Warriors. I really like the Warriors tonight.
Let's go.
I think that is. I laid six and a half. It was never 6.5, I don't think. 7 with them, and then I laid 4.5 with the Lakers. I think that I love the Warriors, love this spot. I think them clicking, a lot of what you and JVT hit on, we talked about on 100 Handicappers. We're recording daily on that, by the way, check.
And by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. Andy McNeil, who was just on, I want to update people because I should have done it before when he was on. There is a Stanley Cup playoff hockey podcast as well that is a brand new one is coming out. Danny Burke?
Him with Danny Burke, yep. With Danny Burke.
Daniel Burke hosting that one. I'm sorry to break your flow here, Kelly, but I want to get their guest is... They have a guest on this one from SBR. Neil Parker will join them from SBR Review. Again, a VSiN hockey podcast coming out today with Neil Parker, Andy McNeil, and Danny Burke. Go ahead.
No, you're all good. We're pretty much doing those all daily. I think the hockey guys are doing very frequently as well. So make sure to check those podcasts out. But yeah, I laid it with the Warriors. I think it's a great spot for them. I think the De'Aaron Fox, like you and JVT hit on. It's at the beginning of the game, the guy looked fine. I think those numbers, though, when you know a guy has an injury, the way you look at his overall box score from that last game, it looks like a guy who's playing through an injury.
9 of 25, 3 of 10 from behind the arc.
Exactly, yep. So I think Warriors are in a great spot to put this away. They know what their struggles have been like on the road. They don't want to go to Sacramento and let this extend to 7.
Nope.
And from LA's perspective, these guys are exhausted. You've looked good at the beginning of this series. You can't let this get to 7 and go back to Memphis. And the other thing is we got to keep in mind how bad Memphis played on the road this year, too. And that's been, they've had to deal with that here through the beginning of the playoffs as well.
Well, Memphis, they are not a beloved team. They've brought it on themselves. Like that whole thing about Dylan Brooks, the media. You created all this, dude.
Oh, totally.
Shut your mouth.
The biggest thing with this series to me has been we talked about the obscene shooting percentages with the Miami Heat. The thing is, they have such a high floor, the Lakers do, with what they're able to do in the front court with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and they've been able to basically do that every single game in this series. I don't expect it to stop.
It's interesting with the Lakers and the Suns. Lakers because of age, Suns because of lack of depth, that those are the biggest knocks on them moving forward.
Yep.
We'll see if those manifest. Lakers got to get by the Grizzlies first. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, what he's betting in baseball today and beyond. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Norman Vegas, I've followed hockey a long time and can't ever remember four game sixes on the same night. We need a handshake prop for tonight. How many games will have handshake lines after the game? Should be interesting. Four closeouts, only the Kraken on their home ice, but we know about home ice.
Wait, do they, this is me not knowing hockey.
No. Here we go, ladies
and gentlemen. Do they not do the lines every time?
When you win the series, they do the lines.
Okay.
So what he's saying is of the four games that could potentially be series enders.
Oh, okay. How many are ended?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, never mind. I thought there was some nice, like, hockey cut. Because I never understood why they do it. I'm like, these guys battle for 2 hours, then they go and shake hands.
It's called sportsmanship.
Oh, it's garbage.
It's called Canadian sportsmanship.
Beat the crap out of each other for two and a half hours.
It's like Keith Olbermann used to say in the book The Big Show, which he wrote about his time with Dan Patrick doing The Big Show over there at ESPN on SportsCenter. He was always like, I don't know what it is about hockey players, but he said they are the nicest of all athletes. The handshake, man. Sportsmanship.
It really is incredible.
Kelly does not like sportsmanship. Kelly does not like Giannis' answer either. Going back to yesterday.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, J.D. Emmons wants to clarify. He goes, this is the Alabama better who did very well. He goes, I was definitely on Bryce early, but it was CJ going two that put me over the top. I bet Bryce one and CJ two for months. And then Jeremiah's mock solidified my thoughts. Crazy part was I got my best number on CJ to go second yesterday at plus 500. And that's right up at the last minutes, man. Right before he soared to like minus whatever, 2,500. Okay, and then this one, because I want to point this out, because Jason's waiting for us. But this is from Chance, who said, I would like to thank you all for opening up my eyes to Yes Run's first innings. I won't lie. I was a no-run first inning better 2 years ago. Last season, I didn't bet either much. This season, I'm only hitting Yes Run's first inning. The ROI has gone up. Appreciate the actionable info. Now, you shouldn't always do yeses, but yes. That was what you ought to be gravitating towards for different reasons. Jason Weingarten joins us now from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. So now, is it true, you tell me if this is right or wrong, that you had zero NFL draft bets heading into yesterday, and then you ended up with a grip on Hendon Hooker over 31.5? Is that true?
Yeah, I sat out the whole draft season. Yeah, I just feel like the limits have gone down, the competition has gone up. You know, it used to be like I was thinking about it, say like 10 years ago or 15 years ago, whenever I used to pay more attention to this stuff. You'd see like a couple people do single round mock drafts. Then you started seeing two round mock drafts. Now it's like you see everybody feeling like they have to do seven round mock drafts, and it's just like an exercise in futility.
Who did a seven rounder? Did somebody do seven rounders?
Oh, yeah, people do.
Are you serious?
But
even
a two round mock is a joke.
Totally.
Because if you look at any of them, nobody gets things right after the fifth or the tenth pick. It's all just darts. It's all content, and almost all of it is crap. So I just ignored it all this year. Let everyone else deal with it. And yesterday I got up. Read a couple things. I saw Hendon Hooker was plus money to go over 31.5 at Bookmaker. And I guess this thing you know about me, Gil, but a lot of other people, you know, are not aware of this. But after last baseball season, I accepted a job at Pinnacle for a bit. Mm-hmm. I went down to Curaçao, got to check everything out, play with all their systems, and learned a lot. But I kind of hated it and wasn't really the spot for me. So I ended up coming back, but while I was there, I had a really good opportunity to learn a lot about betting automation and trading, you know, which was incredibly invaluable to what I do and in this business and everything. But I could tell what's an auto move, you know, what's just a max bet and your account's going to auto move a line X amount of cents versus when a trader keeps manually moving something back. And Bookmaker spent hours yesterday manually moving Hooker back every time I'd bet it. It would drop like 9 cents, then it would pop up 5 cents. So I'd bet like, you know, and it would keep going up too. Like I'd bet like plus 130, plus 125. They'd move it to plus 140, plus 145. I was insulted, frankly.
Offended.
I
mean, that's right. You're offended.
And they're taking,
by this.
Remember, they're taking $500 a pop on this with unlimited rebets, which is the same amount they take on, you know, first innings on baseball props. And, you know, there's a far bigger edge in this market.
Sure.
If you think you know what you're looking at than you know, a baseball bet. So, yeah, I'd bet it. I bet it again. I just kept betting it every time they'd move it back. And it ended up working out. It was a good day.
Good for you, man.
Din Tai Fung for dinner.
Good for you. You said Din Tai Fung for dinner. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Nice little celebration dinner. You know, when Levis started dropping, honestly, you knew it was, you know, like, I don't like to celebrate things ahead of time, but when Levis was there, you knew Hooker was very, very unlikely to get drafted in the first round with Levis falling.
Yeah. For a second there, I thought, wow, imagine if Hooker gets drafted before Levis. Neither, of course, have gotten drafted yet. All right, so good on you for that. What about baseball today? What did you end up with?
Yeah, I love baseball. Love baseball today. Got the Cubs minus 106. Got the D-backs minus 125 at Colorado. Got the Cardinals plus 121 at the Dodgers. I love that game. The Dodgers have been a bit underwhelming recently. I think you're getting a good price with the Cardinals there. I got the Guardians minus 126. I think that's my other favorite play of the day. And I'm betting on the Reds because I don't understand. I my eyes deceive me, but are the A's favored in a baseball game in 2023?
They are not favored, but it is super close. The Reds are minus 110. It's kind of coin flippy here.
I saw Reds at even money a little while ago. I thought that was that could have been part of the reason why it started moving a little bit. I bet the Reds before we came on.
All right, so go through those again: Cubs, Diamondbacks, Guardians, Reds. What was in between?
Cubs, Diamondbacks, Guardians, Reds, Cardinals, D-backs.
Man, all over the place. If I had to say that you only get to bet one of them, I know you hate when I ask you this, but which would it be? Which is the one you feel best about?
Guardians, Cardinals, probably. I don't know which order, but Guardians and Cardinals I like the most.
All right. What is it, the Cardinals? Is it just a price thing? Is it Flaherty versus May? Is it all of the above?
Have people looked at the half of the Dodgers lineup that's all hitting under 200 right now? It's kind of, it just becomes like a sort of a reflex at this point. When I'm looking at the Dodgers and, you know, you see their beat writers and stuff and they ask Dave Roberts, is there anything to be worried about? And he says, no, this is just, you know, trust the process. And you've been trusting the process for like, I don't know how many years. And it's like, I just keep seeing the same stuff and they bring in these guys, they're not hitting. And, you know, I don't know. I'm a little underwhelmed by what I've seen in the Dodgers the last couple of weeks. I don't know what their deal is.
Has it been enough for you to make a NL West play against them, like some other team to
win
it?
No. I still think they're a top class organization and their players. I mean, come on, they got Mookie Betts and you know, Freddie Freeman and the superstars are there. It's the talent they're surrounding them with that, you know, I think sometimes they get a little too cute for their own good and we can fix Thor, we can fix this and like, all right, sure, maybe you can, but can you just get some guys who can do their job every day and not try to fix people? Like I just think Dodgers, like, I could fix this. I'm like, okay, come on, maybe.
Do you feel similarly about the Yankees in terms of, like, superstars, but then it drops off a cliff?
Well, the Yankees, I think the thing with the Yankees is anytime the Yankees have a single bad week, it's like the sky is falling, it's the end of the world. There's no perspective with the Yankees. It's either they're the best team in the world or the results are unacceptable. So, I think when you look sort of at the talent that's surrounding Judge, it's similar to LA. You know, you got Stanton that's always injured. You got Josh Donaldson. He's kind of old. Like they've definitely sort of constructed a Frankenstein with a bunch of injured pitchers. But when I saw this line today, by the way, I was actually, I thought it was an error at first. I was like, the Rangers are minus 200 against the Yankees. I obviously knew DeGrom was pitching, but
right.
I thought, am I looking at a flipped line for some reason?
I had the same insta reaction, right? That was the knee jerk reaction. I was like, wow, Yankees plus 180 on the road against the Rangers and DeGrom. All right, a bevy of picks. They're all on the picks page at VSiN.com/picks. Jason, appreciate it, and congratulations on your Hendon Hooker haul yesterday.
Thank you. I got a Porsche to go with the Ferrari from the last bet I won.
Hot wheels from Jason. He's got a bit. Every week he comes on, he's got a bit now. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia right here. Hope the draft went well for you. Hope it went better for you than it did for me and for us. Michael Lombardi will have much to say to follow up on what we talked about on the draft. Winners, losers, his thoughts on misinformation and beyond. It's the Lombardi Line next on a numbers game. Or not on a numbers game, but on VSiN itself. The Sports Betting Network.